Hour number two, welcome in, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Buck Rising with you on 104.5 The Zone. We're broadcasting live here until 1 o'clock. We're out here the next 2 days. In fact, if you go to the 104.5 The Zone Twitter account, you can see exactly the latest meme going around that Christian Capozzi has put out on our social media accounts from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Scoreboard made the meme, rightfully so. Fantastic food out here. We're getting ready to sample some hot chicken later on in the show, and I'm gonna give you a full review. Now, it's going to be interesting to see whether the hot chicken incapacitates me to do the remainder of the show, but you'll have to stick around. Mina Kimes of ESPN, she's going to be here at 11:30. We are going to give away some Titans tickets at 12:15 today, so make sure that you're listening for how to do that. I got a pair of Titans and Bengals tickets for you this Saturday at Nissan Stadium for the AFC Divisional Showdown. 615-737-1045. That's how you jump in on the conversation that we're having. We're going to have a conversation about Joe Burrow and how he's going to attack this Tennessee Titans defense here in just a second. But let's go back to the phones quickly. We got Dino in LaFontaine wants to weigh in on this Thursday. What you got for me, Dino?
Buck, hey, did I actually get to talk to the real Lucas Panzeca?
I assume if Lucas, unless you're pawning off the call screening duties back there.
He answered the phone. Wow, man, an Italian boy in the South. I always love chatting with those guys.
Yeah, well, he's Italian in the way that he eats. I don't know how much more to associate his ancestry with. But anyway, what you got for me, Dino?
Buck, what I got is my brother used to sing for the rock band Kansas.
Okay.
And we wrote a song, it was a hit song called Fight Fire with Fire, and that is the ultimate flamehead anthem that needs to be cranked.
Fight Fire with Fire. All right, Lucas, you're keeping track of these, right? That's a big deal. That's a hell of a name drop. Brother used to be in Kansas.
I think Mickey Ryan, if he's listening, just might have swerved his car.
I think that, okay, so we'll come back after into one of the next segments with Fight Fire with Fire from Kansas. Derrick Henry's intro song, 3HL, has completely overtaken our show content today with the Derrick Henry intro music. We're fielding suggestions both on the phone lines and in the Zone TV chat where you can watch the show live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch if you want. But in the meantime, let's talk about Joe Burrow. Because Joe Burrow is one of the best young quarterbacks in football right now. He's in the Elite Eight in only his second year in the NFL. He has taken the lowly Cincinnati Bengals from a laughingstock, a 4-11-1 team in his rookie year, to now 10-7, 11-7 if you're counting their wild card win. They've won the NFC or the AFC North. And he's done it in only a season after rebounding from a torn ACL and MCL with a wretched offensive line in front of him. Joe Burrow's not doing this alone. There's a lot of great pieces on this Bengals team that are going to be great for years to come. And not just winning the first playoff game in this franchise for this franchise in 31 years, which is an accomplishment unto itself, winning the division as well. But now he's coming into your house. He's going to try and take all your stuff. Now, we had Dave Lapham, who is the Bengals radio version of Coach Dave McGinnis. Dave Lapham, who played on those Bengals Super Bowl teams against the San Francisco 49ers back in the 80s. Longtime offensive lineman. He's been with their radio team for quite some time as well. And when Dave Lapham talked about Joe Burrow with us yesterday on the radio show, you know, I was taken aback a little bit. Like, I know he works for the Bengals radio network, but when he said that Joe Burrow was MVP caliber, I kind of did a double take. This was Dave Lapham yesterday.
Yeah, I think that you've hit on something that people kind of take for granted. They make comparisons to Tom Brady, and I can compare him that way from the neck up, and Joe Montana. But Montana had more ability. He was more elusive, evasive than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a statue, and Tom Brady's not somebody that can extend and create plays. One of the most famous plays in 49er history, the pass he threw to Dwight Clark to beat the Dallas Cowboys, it was almost like the pass that, you know, Joe Burrow threw right before he jumped out of bounds and completed the ball to Tyler Boyd. That was a big touchdown, you know, in the playoff game against the Raiders. These guys, I compare him more to Joe Montana because he's got that athletic ability to make people miss in a short space. He's got some short space quickness to him. This guy was an all-state point guard in high school. And, you know, he played every sport. His best sport was baseball. And he's just one of those guys. He's got supreme athleticism. And with that said, he's got a tremendous mind for football. I mean, he understands every nuance of his offense and every nuance of what defenses are trying to do to take away his offense, even more importantly. So he's the total package. I mean, you know, he's a very unique, very special football player. And the other thing about him is his preparation. The protocols as such that he goes through for his preparation are second to none. He's one of those guys that's the first in the building, the last to leave. So every other teammate's saying, man, look what Joe's doing. I better up the ante a little bit. If Joe, as great as he is, if Joe's working, right, prepping this hard, I better step it up.
So I heard that, and my first reaction was, well, that seems a bit ridiculous to say MVP caliber for Joe Burrow. But Lucas, you were arguing with me. You were trying to do the show an hour earlier on the phone today when we were discussing what we were going to talk about for 3 hours today. You were arguing with me that you agree with Dave Lapham?
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow is unquestionably an MVP caliber player. Is he the MVP this year? No, of course not. But is he on that trajectory? Absolutely.
Okay, trajectory, MVP is not like a three-year award. Like, trajectory is all well and good, but we're talking about in 2021, in the regular season, MVP is a regular season award. Among the quarterbacks, I mean, not even just the candidates. Like, I don't know that I would put Joe Burrow, playoff results are what they are, and the way that the Colts collapsed, but, like, there wasn't many points throughout the course of the regular season where I'm saying I value Joe Burrow that much more over Jonathan Taylor. Like, I don't think people are hearing you say that and agreeing with you by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, again, MVP caliber, to me, that is somebody that is capable of winning MVP at some point in his career. And just this year alone, you have the 14 interceptions, 34 touchdowns, 4,600 pass yards, which, by the way, is something a Titans quarterback has never done, eclipsed the 4,000-yard mark in a season. I just look at him and the crop of young receivers he has around him, that connection with Jamar Chase, how that looks like it's going to dominate the AFC North for however many years coming up, and just the core that they have around him, all 25 or younger too. Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, and if they get that offensive line fixed, I truly think Joe Burrow is going to be in that conversation year after year.
Okay, and I don't disagree with you, but like year after year is a totally different conversation than talking about MVP caliber right now. That's what kind of took me aback, and maybe we're having two different conversations. 615-737-1045. You can jump in on the conversation. We're live today and tomorrow from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. We got Dr. C, the good doctor in Brentwood, up next on 104.5 The Zone. What you got, Doc?
Yeah. You're the man. I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Now, we haven't heard this since 1999, 2000, when the Titans had the most talented team in all the NFL. We didn't win two Super Bowls. We didn't even win one Super Bowl. I have my thoughts as to why that happened. I might be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Now, Derek is back in the tone. He walks out to about 30, 40 yards where everybody in the stadium, even the high-level people, can see him. Then the stadium guard starts to go wild. At that point, he begins to jog out to the 50-yard line while we're playing Who Let the Dogs Out? Who let the dogs out? We haven't heard that since the freak days. But that's how I think they need to come out. I might be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong.
I appreciate you, Doc. Thanks for the call. 615-737-1045. So here's the thing, getting back to the Joe Burrow conversation, people have been calling in all day to talk about what Derrick Henry's reintroduction music should be. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the King comes out to when he takes the field on Saturday. But here's the thing. Joe Burrow is a stud. He's been one of the best young quarterbacks in football this season. Nobody's disputing that. But when you look at the way that the Titans match up well with the Bengals, you look at the way that they're able to get pressure with four. Jeff Simmons, Harold Landry, DeNico Autry, and Bud Dupree. They've gotten 35 sacks, 35 sacks this season. It's the second most in the NFL, just using four-man pressures. And they've blitzed. These stats are courtesy of Teron Davenport at ESPN. TD says he got them on Twitter from ESPN Stats and Info. So Titans have blitzed 18% of their defensive snaps this season. It's the second least in the NFL. They've gotten those 35 sacks rushing four-man. Four-man pressures, 35 sacks. It's second best in the league from that standpoint. Rushing four, dropping seven into coverage, that's what it's going to take to be able to beat Joe Burrow. As soon as you start having to send extra people to get after the quarterback, that's where you can potentially lose this game. Joe Burrow's QBR drops by 34.6 points when he is blitzed. Or when he's not blitzed. That's a pretty interesting stat, actually. Joe Burrow's QBR drops by 34.6 points when not blitzed this season. Joe Burrow's going to come after the Tennessee Titans on Saturday. We're going to talk about this explosive offense that the Bengals have. Mina Kimes from ESPN is going to be here with us as well, and we'll break down the matchup in more detail. But you know, if you're driving around right now, if you're out on your lunch break, you need to stop by Scoreboard Bar and Grill. This is going to be a great place for you to watch football this weekend. It's a fantastic place to get some barbecue, to get some hot chicken. This place is so great for watching live sports. They've got live music here on the weekends as well. And, by the way, some breaking news from Scoreboard Bar and Grill, courtesy of Ben Baby, the ESPN Bengals reporter. Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson has been cleared from concussion protocol and will play versus the Tennessee Titans. Coach Zach Taylor has just told Cincinnati media. So appreciate Will Bowling, who's out here on site, giving me that news update. When we come back, we'll talk about this matchup in more detail. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. 615-737-1045. That's the number. Mina Kimes at 1130. I'm Buck Rising. This is 1045 The Zone. So, Lucas, welcome back, by the way. Buck Rising live with you from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Talking Titans and Bengals. Mina Kimes of ESPN going to join us here in just a second. Lucas, what was the song that you just played? Because people have been calling us all day long, giving recommendations for what Derrick Henry's walkout song should be.
Yeah, this is
Nissan Stadium. Which is this song?
This is No Chances by 21 Pilots.
We in or out on this? Kirby is decidedly out on it. He's over it. He's right. It's too low key. It can't take that long to like heat up.
Yeah.
Like when the beat drops, I'm down. But I need it right out the gate. I need the juice, baby.
It's got like ominous vibes.
Well, I mean, do you see what he looks like with that visor on? He looks like that the Derrick Henry videos that we were tweeting out yesterday from Titans practice, from like that low angle where he's running at you with that blacked out visor on. It feels like the last thing you see before you die. Like, I feel like Derrick Henry in those moments is what you see before your life flashes before your eyes and you walk towards the light. So maybe for Bengals defender, you feel similarly. 615-737-1045. That's the number. If you missed the news that we had earlier from Ben Baby, Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson has been cleared from concussion protocol. He will play this Saturday versus the Tennessee Titans. Let's go back to the phones. We got Kirk from Nashville, who's up next. What's up, Kirk?
How you doing, Buck?
I'm doing well, boss.
I want to give you your flowers. I've been hard on you in the past. That stretch we went 4-0 and you said we'd go 2-2. I told you we kept our receipt. I want to let you know, you said that we have a 2,000-yard rusher and a 1,500-yard offense when Derrick Henry went down.
That's right.
I tell you, you was right. We didn't see it at the time, but you did comfort all Titans fans, and you was absolutely on point. I want to say thank you for that. It made the thing a little easier to digest.
Well, I appreciate the words, Kirk. What else you got for me on Derrick?
I think Derrick is going to have a good game this week. They know what's coming. He's been sitting down too long, and that's what the Titans are all about. So we all know what time it is. I just don't talk over the Bengals. You heard it here first.
I appreciate the call, Kirk. 615-737-1045. That's how you jump in. Yeah, against this Bengals defense that honestly has played well, and they've done well to kind of rebuild everything in Cincinnati over the course of the last couple of years. DJ Reader, their nose tackle, is playing the position as well as anybody. We talked about They'll be without Larry Ogunjobi, their other the defensive lineman, who's the interior defensive lineman who's played the most snaps for them all season long. You've got a 4,600-yard passer in Joe Burrow, 1,000-yard rusher in Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, 1,455 yards, 13 touchdowns. This dude is an unholy terror running through your secondary at any given point. And when we talked about this yesterday, you know, basically, and speaking to Shane Bowen about this yesterday, frankly, how explosive the Bengals offense is and what they can do to take advantage of you, you know, kind of, and the Titans coaches weren't gonna say this publicly, but you know kind of that they're gonna get their numbers in between the 20s on any given play, right? There's too much star power on the offensive side of the football. But when I asked Shane Bowen yesterday about how well Joe Burrow has done since they last played him, how much he's evolved at playing the position of quarterback, this was the Titans defensive coordinator on what Joe Burrow has done this season.
The time you saw him last year to what you're seeing now.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, he made plays on us last year. You see a lot of the same things, him eluding, his ability to extend plays. I think he's instinctive in the pocket, finding some escape lanes. He's elusive. He's tough to bring down in there. So that part of it kind of continues, and I think he's just improved. I mean, he's tops in the league in completion percentage and yards per completion, which is really, really rare, right? Like, usually those high completion guys are a little bit lower in the yards per completion. So for those two things to go hand in hand, I mean, he's got complete control of their offense. I think you see the trust he has in the scheme, the trust he has in his playmakers, and there's really good chemistry between all of them, whether it's Chase and all their time they spent together at LSU carrying forward to Cincinnati. But, I mean, you see the same with Higgins and Boyd, right? And Uzuma, right? Like, just the same. So, I mean, he's playing really well. Probably one of the better quarterbacks in the league, obviously. I think he's up there with the elite guys with what he's doing this year. So, he's improved, and he's playing really well.
So that's Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen speaking with the media yesterday. Buck Rising here with you on 104.5 The Zone. We're broadcasting live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. If you don't have tickets to Nissan Stadium on Saturday, by the way, at 12:15, I've got a pair of tickets that you can win. I'll tell you how you can do that later on in the show. But if you're not going to the game at Nissan on Saturday, you need to be watching it here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. They'll have the Titans and Bengals game on. They'll have the Packers game on after that. They've got incredible food, great barbecue, fantastic hot chicken, some spectacular cocktails. You got to check out Scoreboard Bar and Grill is the place to be. It's a Nashville staple out here right across the street from the Opryland Hotel. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in on this Joe Burrow conversation. And we'll talk about this with Mina Kimes of ESPN in just a few minutes from now. So when you heard that analysis earlier in the hour about, you know, Dave Lapham, Bengals radio analyst, he's saying Joe Burrow is an MVP caliber player this season. And, you know, it was difficult for me to like process that in real time because my initial reaction, like, no, that sounds ridiculous. But you look at Joe Burrow and the context that Shane Bowen just put it in for you, it is really, really hard for a quarterback to lead the league in completion percentage. 70.4% of his passes completed this season, 4,611 yards. He got 34 touchdowns to 14 picks in a 17-game regular season. And he's averaging 8.9 yards per attempt. This dude is out. It's not like he's just taking the checkdowns. It's not the Tua Tagovailoa completion percentage stats that were super hollow when the Titans hosted the Dolphins earlier this year. Joe Burrow is taking shots down the field. He is throwing the ball aggressively down the field. And he's completing 70.4% of his passes throughout the course of the regular season. Now, where he looked to slow down a little bit was in the red zone, where the things kind of stalled out for the Bengals. And we'll talk about that with Mina Kimes here in just a second. But we'll go back to the phones in the meantime. We got Ham in Spring Hill, who's up next, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. What you got for me, Ham?
Hey, Buck, I have two things. One of them's a favor, but okay. Back, like what you said about the red zone thing, that's what I was going to say. Just based off what I've seen, I don't, you know, watch the Bengals all the time, but it just seems like they're kind of garbage in the red zone. So So, like, if the Titans don't let stuff get over their heads and behind them, in theory, if the Bengals just kick field goals all day, shouldn't we be, you know, straight? And then.
Uh-oh. Does his phone line disappear? Lucas, you zap him? What happened there? Lucas is back there working the phones. All right. I don't know what his favor was, but the Bengals' red zone efficiency is something that he brought up, Ham did in Spring Hill. And you kind of look at the red zone efficiency of the Bengals this year and where things kind of stalled out for them against the Raiders, even though they did get that 26-19 win. Anyway, let's talk about it with Mina Kimes, who is fantastic in her NFL analysis. You can catch her on NFL Live on ESPN, the Mina Kimes podcast with Lenny, her dog, which is exceptional football content. Mina, I appreciate you taking some time.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I want to start with this before we get to the football analysis. How does it feel to be the third best person on Twitter in your own family? That's got to be hard for you.
Lenny's not on Twitter. I don't know. Are you talking about my brother? Who?
I'm talking about Isaac. Isaac kills it.
Oh,
his
Lord.
Soccer analysis, just it knocks me out.
Well, you know, the local angle, the two of the three do live in Nashville, so I feel like there might be a little bias at play, but I'll take it.
Okay. Let's talk about Joe Burrow, who's been an absolute stud this season. Things in the red zone, though, Mina, did get a little more complicated for them against the Raiders, and it didn't seem like they had. I wonder what you made of Zach Taylor's play calling decisions, because I know in his press conference afterwards he kind of took accountability for that. But what did you see when you watched that tape back?
Yeah, some of the issues that I think have cropped up periodically during the season, but especially earlier in the season before Joe Burrow went on this absolute heater, which is I felt at times that Zach Taylor was a little bit conservative with his play calling in terms of some of the early down runs. When you have a quarterback in Burrow who's fearless, incredibly good at extending plays, and then a wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase who can beat just about everyone in the NFL. And my feeling is if Cincinnati wants to both win this game but advance further, they need to keep their foot on the gas pedal. Zach Taylor does, because if they turtle up like they did at times, I just don't see them keeping up with Tennessee.
Yeah, especially with this offense, and it's crazy to think about keeping up with Tennessee, Mina, because it's been it's been such a labor for them all season long. But, I mean, we talked about this earlier this week. Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown have only been on the field together for 120 of their almost 1,300 offensive snaps this season. It's like game planning for a whole new offense.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, and it creates a lot of matchup issues for a Bengals defense, as I'm sure you guys have talked about a lot, has injuries on the defensive line, at defensive tackle, Larry Ogunjobi and Mike Daniels going out, their backups as well. Trey Hendrickson, you know, is in concussion protocol, probably plausible that he would play. That would be that's a massive, massive issue for them. But beyond the defensive line and beyond their ability to defend the run, which, you know, has held up remarkably well without Derrick Henry, what I question is how they can handle the Titans' play-action passing attack. That's something that Cincinnati has struggled with all season long, particularly the linebacker position, those deep in-breaking routes that, as you know, Tennessee basically majors in, I think will create some serious issues for the Bengals.
Yeah, it's crazy to me, Mina, that more people don't sit on those in-breaking routes. Like, that was one of the wildest
things
to watch.
It's hard, man. It's hard, though, because it's not just the routes, and it's not just Tannehill's ability to deliver those super accurate balls under pressure. It's the fact that A.J. Brown and hopefully Julio Jones are so fast and strong. I just don't think that there are many cornerback groups, including Cincinnati, that can handle that level of physicality.
Mina Kimes of ESPN is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone, talking Titans and Bengals ahead of Saturday's divisional round game. So from that point, Mina, what have you made of the offensive play calling on first downs, on early downs specifically for Todd Downing, and this offense, because it's a perpetual frustration for the fan base, how married they are to the run. We understand how this team is constructed and that you have to, that there is the generic cliche that you need to set up the run to be able to efficiently execute the play action pass, which I think has been disproven many times over now that we've gotten smarter about football.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of statistical work showing that, you know, you don't need X amount of runs early in a game for the play action pass to work. You do need, however, to convince opposing defenses that you will run at times, and that you know, you have the willingness, capability to do so. But like, everyone knows that Tennessee can run the ball. Everybody knows that they want to run the ball, and I think it would be a mistake to lean too heavily on that run on early downs, even if there's a matchup advantage there early in the game, solely to quote unquote establish it, you know, ahead of the play action pass. And I think something I'd like to see if I was a Titans fan is Downing mixing it up early on and, you know, trying to take advantage of what people perceive his approach to be.
Mina Kimes here with us on 104.5 The Zone. What of all the matchups on the field this coming Saturday, Mina, you know, you obviously have Ja'Marr Chase, who's been an otherworldly talent. You've got T. Higgins, you've got Tyler Boyd, yeah. C.J. Uzomah, who not just seems to be a spectacular quote based on your colleague Ben Baby's tweets yesterday, but has been a great asset for them as a tight end. When you kind of look at this Bengals offense versus the Titans defense, which matchup are you most excited to watch?
Well, if I'm a Titans fan, I would say Harold Landry versus Isaiah Prince.
He's going to eat.
The Bengals right tackle is one that can be sort of a game changer. It's a mismatch. Also, not just Harold Landry. You know, sometimes they'll have Denico Autry on passing downs, as you guys know, outside the tackle as well. And I think if they're able to overload that side, which is the Bengals' weakness, you can create some really, really disadvantageous situations for Joe Burrow. But behind them, you know, as much as we focus on the pass rush, I'm very curious to see what the plan is for Ja'Marr Chase. We have seen many defenses now really collapse when they tried to single him up with anyone. I don't think Tennessee is going to do that, especially since the strength of the unit is safety. And then it comes turns to, okay, well, so if Ja'Marr Chase is bracketed, or if, you know, Fulton or whoever is able to lock him up, Burrow's going to go to Higgins and Boyd. And what is Tennessee's answer there?
That remains to be seen, but we'll certainly find out on Saturday. So elsewhere in the AFC, Mina, a lot of people, Titans fans are driven crazy by a lot of fine folks at Pro Football Focus and by Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders, because the advanced analytics, they seem to hate the Titans, even if the seeding does not. When you kind of weigh what the metrics tell you, and understanding that it's largely a different team than we've seen throughout the course of the season, that the metrics are evaluating throughout the course of the season, when you look at the other side of the bracket, how much more of a game, or how much more exciting is the Bengal, or rather the Chiefs and the Bills matchup, as opposed to this Titans and Bengals game, even though this is the top seed in the AFC here in Nashville?
Yeah. First, I'd like to apologize for my dog barking. I guess he doesn't like the advanced metrics being critical of Tennessee either.
No, are you kidding me? This is the highlight of the interview, respectfully. Like, Lenny making an appearance is 10 out of 10.
Loud appearance, I should add.
There's a crowd, too. He's pissed at Aaron Schatz. This is outstanding.
He is not happy about it. Here's what I'll say. You know, efficiency metrics like DVOA that take into account strength of schedule obviously are reflecting the fact that the AFC South is, terrible. And I think that plays into it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Very professional of me. And I think, you know, what I've seen and what I've read about that is not about the Titans being a bad team, just about comparing them to other one seeds that maybe have ran a gauntlet and obviously played with a healthier roster all year long. But playoffs are about matchups. Playoffs are about who's on the roster right now. And frankly, you know, I don't think the Titans are a dominant one seed, even with their guys. I also think this is a matchup they can win, and they should win, and they've got so many advantages headed into this one. On top of that, we're talking about a Bengals team that beat a Raiders team that, and I guess Pittsburgh aside, was one of the worst teams in the playoffs. So it's not like they're world beaters either, as intimidating as their passing attack is. Anyways, that's kind of where I fall on this. You just got to look at the individual matchups, and I do feel a lot of them are in favor of the Titans.
It's the worst loss of the Titans season that they dropped that game to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because then Pittsburgh made the playoffs by virtue of that win.
Yeah.
And we, you know, God love Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career and all the great things, but no thank you. I've had quite enough of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I just didn't want to watch that offense anymore.
Yeah, enough. Get it out of our lives. Mina Kimes, I don't want to make you make a game pick if you're doing it on NFL Live later this week. But should we tease that people need to watch NFL Live? Obviously, they're going to watch it anyway. But should we tease specifically the game pick? Or are you prepared to do it here now?
No, I can do it here. I mean, I talked about the game on my podcast, the Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, kind of breaking down matchups there. Check it out wherever you get pods. And I did say I picked the Titans on that one. You know, and I'll say, going into this, before I did my prep and went back and watched the Titans defense in particular, I was leaning Cincinnati, but we talked a lot about the Titans four-man rush, and I think they're extremely balanced, extremely versatile, which is going to be huge in this game. But I came away a little bit more impressed with the secondary than I expected. Some of these young corners, I've been in touch with you about the availability of, you know, Elijah Molden, who I really like and I think could be really important in this game, because just how much 11 personnel Cincinnati uses with their wide receivers. And I think that they've got a pretty good shot of holding up. I mean, look, no one's going to stop Ja'Marr Chase, or maybe they will, but it's very, very challenging. But I think combined with that four-man rush, they don't have to blitz. They'll be able to put extra bodies in coverage. It's going to be very challenging for Cincinnati.
Mina Kimes, catch her on NFL Live. You can get the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, who you heard from as well. Lenny is already receiving much praise on social media right now for his appearance. Mina, I appreciate you, as always, for stopping by. Thanks for making us smarter, and enjoy the football this weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Mina Kimes of ESPN there with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, when we come back, we'll react to what Mina had to say. She's picking the Titans. We'll talk about it. Coming up next, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Smells fantastic in here. People starting to file in for lunch. Come hang out as well. We're here with you till 1 o'clock today and tomorrow. 615-737-1045. That's the number. How you can jump in. Lucas, people have been submitting intro music for Derrick Henry's return to Nissan Stadium. What is this song that you just played?
This is Fight Fire with Fire from Kansas.
Okay. Not cutting Kirby. Alan Kirby has given me the gladiator thumbs, Marcus Aurelius thumbs down. Like, that's what we've just gotten from Kirby Alan Kirby. I haven't heard anything that's working for me today. I really haven't.
I liked the Run DMC. That's my favorite part.
I think it's not equipped for the moment. That's my thing. Like, it needs to be appropriate. Now, we're talking about a situation that's going to happen once, right? Like Derrick Henry coming back after 12 weeks off with a foot injury, taking the field for the first time as number 22 on January 22nd in the year 2022. This is only going to happen so many times, right? So, like, to kind of get the right sound for this, as we're sitting here on a Thursday at 11:48 a.m., maybe people aren't quite in the right mindset. But I've been disappointed, frankly, with the selections thus far. 615-737-1045. We got Levi in Lexington, who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Levi?
What's up, Buck? On the Henry carries, we'll go back to that. I like that callers earlier, the 22 carries. But I'm going to give him 222 yards to go with that.
222 yards. All right.
And another thing on the intro music, what about Roy Jones Jr.? Can't be touched. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
All right. All right, Lucas. You've got your playlist for the rest of the day pretty much at this point. Roy Jones Jr. making an appearance. Here's the thing that I'm curious to know how people are feeling about this game, because I'm reading during the commercial break. We just had Mina Kimes on from ESPN. She gave her game pick. She thinks the Titans are going to be able to pull this one off against the Cincinnati Bengals. And by the way, it wouldn't be pulling it off. They're the favorite. They're expected to win. Go out and handle your business. You play for the home field advantage for a reason. Get the job done, just as you did in Week 18 in Houston. But right as I'm getting ready to come back from commercial, I'm reading an article on The Ringer from Steven Ruiz. The Titans are finally healthy, but will that be enough for them to make a run? And how he's teased it for people on social media is, I wrote about the Titans, and why it may not matter if they really are the worst number one seed ever. Why is this a necessary, why is this a necessary qualifier to put out anytime you talk about the Titans? They might be the worst one seed ever, or they may not be the worst one seed ever, and let me tell you why. Like, who are you serving by denigrating what this football team has done throughout the course of the season and telling people why they're right or wrong on that particular opinion. Like, that kind of analysis I don't necessarily get. But the Titans, I mean, they're going to have a difficult test. This is going to be tough for them to get through Cincinnati. It's not going to be a game that's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be decided by double digits one way or the other. I think that the Bengals and the Titans both have the offensive firepower to keep pace with one another in this game. Bengals dealing with a few more injuries on defense that may work to the Titans' advantage. But at this point, I mean, if it's decided, the line right now on your DraftKings Sportsbook app, promo code WGFX, by the way, if you want to get great offers there. DraftKings Sportsbook has the Titans as 3.5-point favorites. And I would expect probably 3 to 4 points to be the margin of victory between these two teams. I was doing an interview last night, and they made me make a game pick. I haven't done that, I think, since I started covering the Titans. And I said 34-31. I think there's going to be points scored. I think it's going to be close. And I think they're going to make you sweat it out at the end. Paul is in Nashville up next as we broadcast live here from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. What you got, Paul?
Yeah, I got Derrick Henry's intro music.
Okay.
Thriller.
By Michael Jackson?
Thriller by Michael Jackson, yes.
Okay. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. We'll add it to the playlist today. Lucas, okay. You're making a face. Lucas, you're making a face. What's wrong with Thriller?
I don't know. I don't know if I like Thriller.
You don't know if you like Thriller. Is this a Michael
Try
Jackson?
Try that intro.
Man, he did get injured on Halloween.
Oh.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So there's a little bit of a story. See, now I appreciate Paul in Nashville because he came with a little backstory. Derrick Henry gets injured on Halloween. You're playing the Thriller. He comes out. He's basically a 250-pound rage monster playing the quarterback or the running back position. So I understand there's parts and pieces of that work.
Aria's dad on the YouTube chat says just play the Purge siren when he comes out.
You trying to get people excited?
I'm not going to come back to that break. That might send people into a panic.
Think that there are no rules in society right now.
It is snowing, or it is icy out there.
What does that mean? That means that you could take a chainsaw to your fellow man? No, Lucas, settle down back there. Relax. Joseph in Nashville is next. That's the Thriller call took a very, very unexpected turn. What you got for me, Joseph?
Hey, I got Derrick Henry, 22 carries.
Okay.
I need two in the naked formation with him as a quarterback.
Oh, the King Cat? You're calling it the King Cat formation?
The King's Four.
I appreciate is Joseph in Nashville eating lunch as he's calling the radio show? I like that. There was some chewing going on. 615-737-1045. I don't know what Derrick Henry's workload is going to look like. I know that it's going to be north of 15 carries at bare minimum. Like Derrick Henry, as we talked about earlier, he's coming to play, and he's coming to play Derrick Henry-style football regardless if he's 100% healthy or as close to 100% as they are going to get him. When we come back, we'll talk about this in more detail. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel about how they've been watching tape from the last time that they played Cincinnati, which was one of the most catastrophic losses for the Titans in 2020 against a healthy Joe Burrow at the time. You'll hear from the Titans head coach on that. We'll take more of your phone calls as well. We're broadcasting live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. If you're getting in your car for your lunch break, come hang out. It smells fantastic in here. People are starting to get their food. We're going to have some hot chicken before the show is over, and we'll see if I'm able to finish the radio show after trying some hot chicken. It's a great place to watch playoff football, by the way. They're going to have it on all weekend long. Saturday, Titans and Packers after that. They've got the games on Sunday. They've got incredible live music out here. They got one of my favorite local bands, the Spasmatics, who do Sunday Funday. 80s and 90s hits, Spasmatics put on a hell of a show. And you can see all of that while you're getting great drinks and food at Scoreboard Bar and Grill.